Welcome to this deep dive into a really fascinating editorial from The Edit. Our mission today is to, well, uncover how a single museum basically catalyzed an entire town's renaissance.
Right, which is completely backwards from how this usually works.
Exactly. Normally, there's this strict order of operations for urban revival, right? A town gets wealthy, it builds a tax base, local philanthropists emerge, and then finally the cultural institutions arrive.
Yeah, usually the culture is the cherry on top.
But we are looking at a place that flipped that formula completely upside down. We're talking about Beacon, New York. Back in 1999, you know, this former hat-making and Nabisco factory town on the Hudson River was really struggling.
It was basically empty. I mean, Main Street was 80% vacant.
Yeah, a local developer actually described it as looking like a war zone of plywood and graffiti and empty buildings. So what changed?
Well, in 2003, the Dia Art Foundation opens Dia Beacon. It's this massive contemporary art museum right inside one of those abandoned factories.
Which sounds crazy, but it makes perfect sense when you look at Dia's specific model.
Exactly. They practice what they call Renaissance-style patronage. So they fund these massive 1960s and 70s artworks that simply cannot fit inside a traditional museum.
Right, like Richard Serra's sculptures.
Yes, exactly. These massive curving walls of solid steel that weigh literal tons and just dwarf the people walking through them. A traditional gallery in Manhattan physically cannot handle that structural weight.
Or the spatial footprint, I imagine.
Right. Most of this monumental art was really just sitting in storage because nobody had the space.
So you have these colossal steel sculptures needing heavy-duty floors and vast open spaces. Basically, they needed a giant pre-lit warehouse.
And Nabisco left them the ultimate turnkey operation.
Right. Which is just wild to think about.
Yeah, so back in 1929, Nabisco built a 300,000 square foot facility in Beacon to print cardboard boxes for their biscuits.
Wow, just for the boxes?
Just the boxes. And because printing accurate color separations on packaging back then required incredibly even indirect daylight, the building had 34,000 square feet of north-facing sawtooth skylights.
Oh, which is exactly what you want for a museum.
Exactly. That industrial requirement translates perfectly to viewing fine art. So when Dia bought the empty factory, they brought in the artist Robert Irwin to lead the conversion.
And he didn't just, like, paint the walls white.
No, he treated the building itself as an experiential work. He kept the brick, he kept the concrete floors to create a true daylight museum. The natural light completely dictates how the art looks throughout the day.
Wait, I have to push back here for a second. You drop 145,000 art tourists a year into a tiny town of 13,000 people.
Right. It sounds like a recipe for a logistical disaster.
Yeah. Doesn't that just create a massive weekend traffic jam? Like, how does looking at a giant steel sculpture actually keep a local coffee shop in business on a random Tuesday in November?
Well, the secret is that Dia doesn't rotate its art.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it completely avoids those massive, chaotic opening weekend booms that are usually followed by dead zones. The installations haven't changed in decades.
Oh, wow. So it's a completely different rhythm.
Exactly. That creates a steady, year-round trickle of visitors. People spend 3 hours walking this massive factory. They get hungry. And then they just walk down a main street to buy lunch.
And that predictability is what allows a local restaurant to sign a lease and actually survive.
Precisely. The museum made Beacon a cultural address. It's pulling visitors from Berlin, Tokyo, and Sao Paulo to spend the weekend in a former factory town.
And because it's an operating institution, not just, you know, an empty preserved historical building, it acts as a real economic anchor.
Yeah, 23 years of that consistent foot traffic really compounded.
Right. Main Street filled up with independent shops, and that eventually led to a $10 million state downtown revitalization grant in 2021. And the state explicitly credited Dia for facilitating the town's recovery.
Which brings us to the core lesson the editorial points out. A building that actually does something is the true unit of recovery.
Makes sense.
20 years of standard Main Street revitalization efforts alone simply couldn't do what one ambitious operating institution did.
It really makes you look at your own town differently, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the patience Dia showed, keeping the same art in place for decades, built deep trust and a lasting brand for Beacon.
Absolutely.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Next time you walk down a struggling Main Street, don't just look at the empty storefronts. Look at what's happening on the edges of town.
Yeah, the places we usually ignore.
Exactly. Are the massive, obsolete structures of yesterday, like, you know, abandoned shopping malls or dead data centers, actually the blank canvases that will save the cities of tomorrow? something to think about.